Good morning or afternoon, everybody. How you doing? Well, let's try that one more time. How you doing? Oh, that's better. There we go. Nice. To get started with, this is WCAB325, making PC recovery easier with the Microsoft Diagnostics and Recovery Toolset, aka DART. Now, I hope you're in this room and I hope you find yourself in the right spot. If not, stick around and you might find that you'll find some interesting things to learn and do today. I'm Aaron Ruckman, Program Manager of the DART Tools. So, how many of you, by just show me a raise of hand, have used the DART Tools or know what they are? Let's see here. Yep. So, for everyone else, what we're going to do is, just bear with me, we're going to go through a whirlwind tour of DART, meaning we're going to go over some basics, what are the tools, how to use them, and some basic scenarios. Also, then we're going to work out some deployment options for how can I push the DART tools out to my clients, some best practices, some ways you can do it. We're going to do that pretty quick. Then we're going to get into the meat of the session, which is what we want to do is that we want you to go through some advanced scenarios to talk about how can I use DART to, well, it's basically the takeaway. How can I meet a productive and highly global workforce when bad things happen in an IT environment? And finally, what I also want you to take away from this session today is that the DART tools, integrating them into your environments and into your processes to automate them, is seamless and robust. So, we're going to go through a whirlwind tour. Set this up. What I want to do is we're going to talk about disasters in general first. So, in preparation for this presentation, I went off and did some research. And I found that hurricane and flood disasters were on the increase. And what I found is that these disasters are impacting our lives, our pocketbooks, our customers, and possibly even our companies. So, for example, in the last week or so, we've had just another one up in Oklahoma. And these disasters also impact us as IT developers. But to begin with, what I want to ask is, who might think that they know what the most costly hurricane was in U.S. history? Sandy, just call it out. Katrina, Sandy. Well, actually, it was Katrina at $84 billion in damages. That's what it cost them to recover Katrina. Now, on Sunday, how many of you went out to the community outreach project? I know I did. It was kind of a cool thing. There we go. We got one or two. Yep. Three. Yep. It was a great thing, wasn't it, to be able to go out and participate in the rebuilding of Katrina. And what does this have to do with the DART tools? I'll get to it in a second. But before I ask that question, what do you think was the second biggest disaster in history? Just shout it out. What do you think? Sorry? I heard Sandy. 9/11. Katrina was the biggest hurricane next to Katrina. Excuse me. Sandy was the biggest hurricane next to Katrina, and it cost $75 billion and growing still. So, how does this have to do with IT disasters? Right? We are all impacted by these things, and for us, we need to also, just like when these natural disasters happen, we need to be able to protect and become proactive with our internal infrastructure such that they become more prone to recover faster. So in your organizations, we know that you are very good at recovering data on your servers and on your infrastructure, on your back end. You have fall over, you have cluster servers. But the question becomes, what about your desktops? What happens if a desktop fails over and loses data? What's your plan for that? We also have system failures on desktops. Now, it's not easy for you to go, perhaps, maybe to the next room and you can go and help out the person. But what happens if it's your exec and you can't really, you know, he says, I need this data recovered. I need it done in 5 minutes. I've got this presentation. I'm flying out to go visit somebody. How, I need you to help me. So that's another problem. We also have system failures. We hate them. We don't like them. But occasionally, machines blue screen. And so how can you get a machine that's blue screened back into a good state? The final one, another one is, so we have distributed workforces. How many of you have multiple offices that you support? Yeah, me too. We're in this global environment, we are scattered around the world in a way that we have to support multiple offices, and it's not easy for us to go in and really email or walk to someone's office if they're halfway around the world, right? There's barriers there. Finally, when we go back to the executive blue screen again, what is your plan today? I mean, if that happens, typically the normal solution is that we will go and re-image the box, but we've just lost the crucial data on the exec's box. What can you do in that case? So, in summary then, the traditional approaches to machine recovery really don't meet the needs of a highly productive and global workforce, which you all work in today. So to help out with this, we can accelerate the desktop repair on-site and remotely. That means that if you have an image, or if you're able to walk to the person's box, plug in a USB key, put in a DVD, you can fix the issue right there. Or we also have tools in the Dart product that will allow you to remote into that image. Regardless, all you need is an IP address and a port, and then we can help you to remotely go into that machine, diagnose the machine, pull off the data you need to get yourself back running in a very short amount of time. So the idea then with the executive scenario we talked about is what we're trying to do is move from a reactive approach to a more proactive approach where you can plan for what happens if the executive's laptop blue screens. What happens if he's halfway around the world and needs your help? You can plan for that using the Dart tools. The second thing that the Dart allows you to do is if you have one client that goes bad, you know, you can probably get around that with imaging and maybe you don't lose too much data with the traditional tools. But with the Dart tools, you can actually recover the data and repair the problem, restoring productivity, because you and I both know that really what we're trying to do with our users that we support is to keep them as productive and in their zone as possible. And the more that we can do that to help them, the better off that you look, and you'll look really great, and they'll look great because your corporation will be rising together with higher productivity. Finally, in this version of Dart 8, we went to extents to make the deployment of this product easier. We've added USB keys. We've added the ability, for example, I'm going to talk about this later, but we've actually added ways to make the deployment of the Dart image more seamless and more integrated into your experiences. So as our marketing team has gone out, they've asked you, what are your common scenarios? What are the common things that really impact your business? And maybe you can relate to some of these. For example, I was talking to a couple guys over here, and they said, yep, you know, they described to me my executive experience, which I loved, because that helped me to understand that, yep, you know, we have the right experience, and maybe some of you have also experienced this too. When you have when you have to recover that exec's blue screen box, Dart can help you do that. What happens if you can't get to the last known good? Dart can help you solve that problem. Sometimes, and I hate to say this, but sometimes perhaps your user has deleted a critical file that he's deleted permanently and you can't get it back. as you can use Dart to go in and recover that deleted file as long as the bits haven't overwritten that file. Now, if you have to be careful with trim on SSD, because the new SSD with trim, they actually recover the bits very quickly. And so if you're using trim with SSD, it's kind of a limitation that we know, and perhaps we'll look at it in the future. Another scenario is, let's say that you have these boxes in a closet that might be turned on, might be turned off, and 3 admin passwords ago, or 4 or 5 maybe, is when they were last used, and you don't remember the admin password for any of the local accounts that are there. You've tried a few and you just can't remember. You can use Dart to get into those boxes and change any local password of any account, so that way you can get in and repurpose that box without losing data. So if you happen to scale down your accounting office, then you scale them back up again, you can simply go in, make sure the data is still there, and get them off and running without having to spend cycles reimaging the boxes and configuring them. Also, Dart works very well and is integrated with the Windows Defender product, but it works in an offline scenario to get to those really deep virus and malware issues that penetrate the boot sector. And since you're booting from a different boot sector, you can then attempt to clean those volumes. Also, 5, 7, 10 years from now, when those laptops, now you want to give back to the community, and so you really want to be able to take those old laptops and donate them to charity. But the problem is that you don't want to give away your IP to a charitable organization when you donate the machine. We have tools, Dart has tools, which will wipe the disk clean and make it into a and make it ready to give to the charity, so you get peace of mind that you're not going to lose your IP. Finally, probably this is the cool thing, I'm going to say this a couple of times, but one of the cool features that we have in Dart is the ability for you to have a centralized IT staff, whereby you can go and open up your remote connection and go and diagnose issues on someone's box, as even if they're halfway around the world, as long as you have access to their IP address and to the port that they're on. So the Dart tools, we segment these tools into 3 different groups: disk and file, which are disk and file tools, administrative tools, and recovery tools. I'm not going to go into each tool in today's session. I invite you to go and play with a hands-on lab, or talk to us afterwards. We also have lots of documentation, but I'm going to key out a few tools now, and I'm going to speak to more in just a minute. So for disk tools, we have Disk Commander. Disk Wipe is a tool that will allow you to do that donation to that charity in a good way. We support 2 different passes. We support a single pass, which randomly just puts zeros and ones on the drive for the entire drive. We also do a 4 pass, which meets the Department of Defense standard for wiping boxes. We also do file restore. So if you lose that file or permanently delete that file, you have an opportunity to search the hard drive in the deleted sectors to recover that file. Also, if you need to figure out where a file is to recover some data, you can search or browse to the file explorer that we have built into Dart. Administrative tools, these are basically the same administrator tools that you can find inside of the OS in your accessories. The coolest one, really by far, is the remote connection, which I've already spoken to, and we'll get into more detail in just a minute. Also, the recovery tools are awesome. When your machine blue screens, you wait for a minute for it to go from 0 to 100%. And at that time, you then get what's called a memory crash dump file, which is just taking the state of the operating system. Crash Analyzer is a tool that can help you to open up and diagnose that crash file without having to set up a very complex environment that includes debugging tools and Notepad and trying to figure out, how do I do WinDBG? I don't know if you've ever tried that. This takes all that complexity out. And what it will do is it'll point you in the right direction for for where you can go next to figure out why the system crashed. So, and I'll go through a demo of that as well. Windows Defender, this is a great tool to help you really get into offline issues that you can't solve via online. Locksmith, now this Locksmith really is the tool that allow you to reset your local password. I want you to be careful with this tool. Don't give this to your customers. Don't give them to your users. This is the keys of the kingdom. You don't want to give that to your customers. There is a way where, and I'll explain how to do this later, but you can turn off the Locksmith tool for your users without turning it off for you, because you want to be able to still use this tool whenever you want to. Finally, we have the hotfix uninstall tool. Sometimes you have hotfixes which you get on your machine and you really don't want them there anymore, but you can't uninstall them from the normal OS. And so the hotfix uninstall tool is a way for you to go and select the uninstall packages that are installed and do so in an offline manner, and you become more successful in uninstalling packages that you never wanted on your box to begin with, but couldn't do it if you were inside of the OS. So, that's the whirlwind tour of the Dart tools. Now we get into the deployment. How do I deploy Dart? Common questions we have are, okay, so I've got this Dart tools now. How do I get out to my customers? And so we have several ways that you can do so. But first, and the first way is kind of interesting. We have CD and DVD deployment. How many of you have bought a machine in the last year that has a DVD or a CD-ROM? Oh, a couple of you. Okay, there we go. Yeah, but not many. So, but if you did, we create an ISO image, which you can then burn to a CD or a DVD, or you can mount the ISO image. Something new in Dart that we have this year, in this release, is being able to create a bootable USB key. You go and you plug the USB key in, reboot, and it will automatically boot you into the Dart image if your USB drive is, of course, on and enabled for rebooting in your BIOS. Very cool. The next thing that we support is network boot or Pixie boot. You can upload the image, the WIM that we create, up to your Pixie boot server, and then your users can choose that when they do an F12 or a Pixie boot deploy install. It will then bring down the image, boot it up, and then you can go from there. Also, you can replace the WinRE image that currently comes with Win8 with the Dart tools. The only difference between the two is that the WinRE image that we provide you has the Dart tools in it. Everything else is exactly the same. So it's great to be able to, if you have Dart, install when you create your image to also install with the latest Dart tools. That way you get the benefit of being able to do diagnosis and recovery any moment that you need to on any machine in your enterprise. Finally, something really cool that we're going to go into more detail. Did I go out of range? Yes, I did. Is System Center deployment. So using System Center, you can go and deploy a Dart image through your network without having any user intervention at all. And we're going to talk about that scenario in just a minute. But how cool is it that you can go and just be able to push out the image, do your diagnostics if you need to with System Center. So to show off a few of the tools, I'm going to do a demo. There we go. Okay, so imagine that you've deployed your tools out and somehow you've been able to reboot into the Dart image. This is what you will see. This is the first thing we prompt you to do is to say, do you want an internet connection? You can or you don't need to. If you're going to use remote connection, you're going to want it. If you're going to the Windows Defender offline scanner updates its virus definitions twice a day. So if you want to get the latest definitions, you'll want to also say yes. But if you're in some cases you're going to be behind firewalls or in very locked down environments, so you can say no or yes, and it might not just work. This should become very familiar then if you've ever been in the WinRE environment. Choose the keyboard. We will troubleshoot. Again, should look very familiar. And now we've added this Microsoft and Diagnostics and Recovery toolset. So now we get to choose our operating system. One key note that you should be aware of is the version of Dart that you use matches a single operating system version. So if you have Dart 8, that works with Windows 8. If you have Dart 7, that'll probably work with Windows 7 and so forth. And if you happen to have multiple OSs installed on the box, we would detect those and ask you which one would you like. In this case, we have a single operating system. I will select it. And there, voila, are the tools. If you'll notice, I have Locksmith turned off, so I can't go in there. And what I want to do first is that my legal team has told me that they've deleted accidentally files that they needed to do some work. And I told them, well, put them into the Do Not Delete folder. So let's go see if they're there by chance. And because, you know, I told them put it in this folder we call Don't Delete Stuff, and there it is, Do Not Delete, but it's empty. So they deleted files. So the next thing that we're going to do then is we're going to run File Restore to go and get the documents back if we can. Let's see if we can restore these files. So I'm going to browse to the directory, since I kind of know where we put them, and then I'm going to search. I can also search for files in deleted directories as well. That takes more time. If you need to do that, though, you can. You can also set this up for modified time and be able to really hone down on the search that you want. This takes about a minute to do, so I'm going to just move it down here, and we can then kind of watch it progress as we go through the next thing. So what I talked about is the disk wipe. So when you're trying to when you're trying to donate a box to charity, this is the tool that you would use to do so. What you can do is you go and select the volume you want, or you can select the whole disk if you want, and you can do a single pass or a four pass, which follows the DOD 5220.22-M standard. Oh, and look at this. While we were waiting, we actually found some files, a number of them. So we can go back, and let's just choose, there we go. I will copy these files to my folder. I'm going to put them right back in the place where they weren't supposed to delete them from in the beginning. And now you'll notice that there they are. And when they go back into their OS, when you reboot back in the OS, those files will be there and they can use them. And hopefully they won't delete them again. But if they do, you're set and ready to recover those files for them. Maybe they'll put them into source control. Maybe they'll put them into, you know, SharePoint, someplace a little better than where they have them currently. So that's really cool. Now let's say that my friend in California, let's say, he called up my friends in Boston. Who is from Boston out there? I know there's a couple of you. There we go. Yeah, there's a few. He called up his friend in Boston and said, look, I've been trying, every day for the last week, my machine is blue screened, and I don't know why. So he sends you a dump file that he got out of his Windows directory, the memory.dump. He sent it to you, and you pull it down into your box, and now you can run the Crash Analyzer tool. And the cool thing about the Crash Analyzer tool is that it can be ran either from a place where we have installed the Dart tools or inside of your image as you're diagnosing things. But, you know, he emailed it to you, so that's great. So you're going to pull it up and just kind of work on it outside of the Dart environment. The only thing we require is that you download these debugging tools and you enter the path once, and then it remembers where the path is evermore. You can get the tools from this link, so you don't have to go searching for it. Then you can then download the symbols. That's what you want to do originally. For purposes of my demo, I've already downloaded the symbols because it takes some time and they're local. And so I enter in the path to the memory file. So here's my dump file that he sent me. And now I execute it. What's happening on the background is that the dump file is extracting. It is now loading up the drivers that it thinks might be causing the issue. It then does some analysis, and voila, it now has provided me with some information about places I can go. So his issue was that he had an NVIDIA Windows driver issue. And so that gives me a good point of reference, right? So I tell him, okay, why don't you go try doing the obvious, right? Which is go to NVIDIA, get the latest drivers, and see what happened. In this case, this is actually a real dump file that happened to a friend of mine. He went off and got the latest drivers, and he was off to the races, and he didn't blue screen anymore. And his demos, and when he had to hook up to present to projectors, worked a lot better. So he was really happy about this. Now, other things you can do with this is you can get details, and you can get detailed information about what drivers he had on the box, advanced information for diagnostics, even symbols. So we go down, if you want to get into the low-level diagnostics of what's actually happening, you can. And so in this scenario then, what we can do is that then I can say, well, I want to diagnose this a little bit more. I'd like to get the file off your box. And so if you were doing this from here, I can just say, okay, this is nvldmkm.sys. Great. So I'm going to go back to my Dart image, and I'm going to do a search for that file using the Dart tools. I kind of know, since I was there, that this happens to be in the Windows directory. So I'm going to go to my /windows/wac/system32. And I'm going to say OK. And then I'm going to look for that NVM. NVLDDM star. And it should find something. So it goes off, it searches, and there you go. There is the bad driver. I can now take and copy that. Right, I can copy to folder, I can move to folder, I can map a network drive from here to put it out in a place where I can see it and use it, and then I can diagnose it outside of being inside the image, and I've got exactly what I need to go call NVIDIA and say, hey guys, did you know about this? You must have. When is this going to go off live? How can I get your drivers into my production environment, et cetera, et cetera. Great. So those are the Dart tools. At a really high level, we're going to keep on going here. So now we're going to talk about, for the majority of the rest of the presentation, is how do I use the Dart tools to automate some things which might be common to you in your problems today, and hopefully you will find value in making these tools become reality for you. I want to go through a scenario, and I want you to think about whether or not the scenario applies to you. On a regular basis, you might think that your enterprise is clean and good and ready to go, but every once in a while you get a notification from someone that your network has been infected with malware or viruses. And what you really would like to do, and these are bad ones, these are ones that get down into your boot sector. So what you really like to do is be able to go off and clean and detect your environment in a way that has minimal impact to your customers, that you can also go and get regular reports from to be able to tell your management, you know what, that was kind of a black hole to us, but now we know that in the last 3 weeks we've been clean and that we've been able to detect stuff and things are much better now in our environment. So Dart can help you with this problem. The solution can come with Dart. The first thing that you can do is that you can create an image, a Dart image, that includes the Windows Defender tools. And each time when you create it, it will contain the latest Windows Defender offline definitions. Remember, those are updated twice a day, every single day, to help protect us from things. The second thing that you can do is you need to then deploy the image that you've created on a regular basis, probably about a week, to your enterprise. So think about it. You could probably go and spend Friday night right before you go to create the image, push it out to your infrastructure, and then on Saturday night at 3 a.m., then you roll out this. You roll out to all of your clients the ability to do this Windows Defender scan. Then on Monday you come in and you analyze the results of what happened, looking through the log files, creating a quick report, sending that off, and now you're done. You've showed a lot, and you've been able to demonstrate that you've been able to not only fix issues or find issues, but also fix issues, and you're able to say, we are good. So the first thing that we're going to do is I'm going to show you how to create the Dart WIM with the latest Windows Defender definitions. There we go. So I'm not going to show you how to install Dart. It's dead simple. If you've ever installed anything, it's just that. You have the option of installing, choosing a target path to install something different to. But the really cool tool that we have to make this all happen is called our Launch Your Recovery Image Wizard. So it's the Recovery Image Wizard. And I want to just point out a few key aspects to this. The first thing you'll notice is that we have a lot of options here. This is the entire tool set. If you come in and unselect any one of these, it won't make it available in the image. But if you come in later on with remote connection and connect to that, then you'll be able to be able to get there. I have a question right here. That's correct. Dart does. So the question was, doesn't the image creation require the ADK? And the answer is yes. Dart requires the ADK as well to install. And the follow-up question was? So what is the bare minimum that you need to install from the ADK? And I believe it's the image creation tools. That's all we use out of the ADK. Thank you for the question. All right. So all that you really need inside of this image that you're creating is the Defender checkbox to be checked, and everything else can be grayed out. The next thing that I want to point out is that you should just double check. It is almost always now by default that we go out and let you, or we make you get the latest Windows Defender bits when you create the Dart image. But just check this advanced topic, this advanced tab, where we have Defender, and you can download the latest bits every single time. Finally, the last thing that you need to ensure that you're going to check is make sure that the checkbox is checked on Create the WIM. Now, creating the ISO is also this is a step where we would create the ISO for you. And then the last screen, which I don't have here, will then go in and creates the boot image for you on a USB. Will also burn a DVD for you as well. Now, you might be asking yourself, okay, Aaron, this is really great. Every Friday, I have to come in and run this wizard. That doesn't seem very automated to me. That doesn't seem very seamless and robust. Well, actually, that's good because we also provide a PowerShell script. Now, the cool thing about what we do here in this particular scenario is that we create a PowerShell script that we then use ourselves to create the Dart image. And that's actually really cool because we're consuming exactly what we're providing you. The PowerShell script steps are here. They're more for your reference. What I want you to get out of this today is that any option that you configure inside of the wizard then goes through to the PowerShell script. So the next time when you run it, you get the same options. So for example, if you decide to say, yes, I want to get the latest definitions, the latest Windows Defender Offline definitions, that option comes through the next time when you run the PowerShell script as a parameter inside of one of our PowerShell script options. The second thing I want you to take out of this is the fact that it's just PowerShell script. So we've provided some sections where you can customize, where you can add additional things, like if you want to add drivers, if you wanted to go in and do something slightly different, you can do that because it's just PowerShell. The key places that we have, though, the key places we provided you are these commandlets. This is also for your reference. You can come back and look at this. These four commandlets paired with DISM commandlets, which come from the ADK that we use, those set of commandlets are really the thing that powers this and allows you to create this WIM. Also the ISO, also the USB key. So, what we've discussed up to this point is how to create a Dart image on a basically regular basis. We've kind of talked about weekly, it can be whatever you want, that will keep your Windows Defender definitions up to date. And now we're going to talk about how do I deploy this image to my enterprise. We're going to recommend that you use Configuration Manager. And I just have a really quick step here because I want to show you what to do instead of talk about it. But it's three steps, three-step process. First one is you take that image you created and you import it as a boot image into your Configuration Manager, to your software library. The second thing you do is that you create a task sequence that will go and do several things. Now, the key step in the task sequence is this command line. This command line really is Windows Defender offline, and the auto scan will do a quick scan with a quick fix inside, well, without any user intervention. Finally, what you should do is that you need to go and deploy the task sequence, validate it, make sure everything's working right, and then roll it out to your customers on a regular schedule. Now, one thing to note is that when you roll out this image to your enterprise, make sure you stagger the deployments to your OUs, because you don't want to hit your network all at the same time, because that could cause some issues when you do that. So that's just normal CM stuff guidance. Finally, what we want to do is we want to analyze the reports that come out. So what we'll do, what WDO does, is that it writes out to a log file at this location, C:Windows or Winder, Microsoft anti-malware support MP detections. You can collect the logs that were run at this location either at the time when you run the WDO or afterwards. Let's say the next week you can run something that doesn't have to be offline in WinPE or WinRE, and it will automatically go and pick those up. Then you can copy those to a central location, embedding like the machine name into the path for where you're going to copy them to, so you can remember what machine was hit. Then you search for detect in the MP detection logs. And here's an example of a log that actually had a virus in it that it detected. It was the DOS Iker --test_file virus. And so we were able to detect and then fix this virus using the auto scan methodology we're talking about. So in summary, you can solve this problem that your business has using a combination of Dart, WDO, which comes with Dart, Configuration Manager, and then it doesn't end there, but then you can really show the value of the tool to your management by analyzing the reports and being able to get peace of mind that you have really solved a problem for the business. I want to go through how this works at this point. Oops. There we go. So what I've done is I want to well, that's interesting. Something just kicked on. All right. So first, we're going to do a cooking show here. And what I want to do is show the results of setting everything up and getting everything ready to go. So I'm going to unpause my VM. You'll notice that Dart is awesome. Don't you think? Yeah? I think so. Because it connects, and so we're executing a Windows Defender offline scan. This is what the user would see. And so before this step, all that we've done is we've downloaded the WIM to the box in terms of that step. It's about ready to go ahead and extract the, start staging the boot image, so that way it can be loaded into WinPE. And I'm just going to move this guy over here to the side so you can kind of see what's happening. And at the same time, I'm going to go, while this is running, because it takes about 12 minutes to go through the scan on my device, I want to show you what we did to get there. So the very first thing that we did, let me just go here so you can still kind of watch that go, is that this is the recovery image wizard. And so after you get this in, you need to be able to get to the WIM. So you just put your Windows 8 WIM someplace, your setup image someplace, and then you point to it here. You go through, these are all the tools. So I'm going to make sure especially that my locksmith is turned off, and also that everything else is turned off and just my defender bits are there. Now, I don't care about remote connection, but this is something we'll talk about later. So keep in mind this is kind of a cool thing. And then we get into our advanced tools. So in here I can add any drivers I want to add. I could also add any WinPE image options that I need to add. If I wanted to add the debugger tool so I could run Crash Analyzer within the image, this is the screen I would use. Segwaying just for a second, it looks like it's ready to restart. So I'm going to help it out by kicking off the restart. What's happened is that staged the image, and now it's going to reboot the box without any customer interaction into the Dart image, and we'll start the scan. Moving back to how we did it. I've now just double checked to make sure that our Defender bits are actually downloaded, which they are. And now I'm going to create the image. This is what we saw before. The edit mode is really a cool thing. This is for if you want to do things like, I need to go add. Someone out there talked to me earlier today about, so I have McAfee, I don't have BitLocker. How do I make that work? Right? I want to be able to decrypt my hard drive or suspend my hard drive from being encrypted, but I don't use BitLocker. You could go in and modify the image in this mode, so it stages the image for you. You can go in with File Explorer or with a script and add any files that you want to. You can modify the WinPE shell sh.ini file, which contains the list of tasks that are going to be run when WinRE is executed. And you can do things like also go in there and copy files back. You can do net use, whatever thing you can do in batch, you can do in that INI file to execute and be able to automate your tasks. Then I just click create, and then it goes off to the races. I've already got a WIM that I've created. So as you can see, it's canceling those points, and now it's just moving off. So I'm just going to move it down here, let it do its thing. Luckily, I've already created an image. So what I can do with this image is I bring up my Configuration Manager server where I have Configuration Managers installed. And on the left here, you'll notice that I have my software library, and it's the two key points that you need to know are the boot images and the task sequences. So the first thing I'm going to do, I've actually already done this with this image because this was the live server that I'm running this other guy on, is that I just said, okay, I want to add a boot image. I'm going to give it a path. There we go. And it's off. I'm going to give it a path to where to find the image. Oh, it's already there. Yay for me. Okay, so there's my image. So I'll say, yep, that's my image I want to take. And here's one of the key points, tips, and tricks that you should be aware of. When you create an image using WinRE tools, the boot image number one is still the WinRE image. So you don't want that one. You want number two, key thing. So if you start this out and it crashes on you, which it's done for me a few times, because I forgot to put boot image number one. It'll try to load the boot, the image when it reboots, and it says can't. So you just got to go back in and make sure that you're loading the image. if you put it up on your Pixieboot server or if you're running it with an ISO image, we've automatically disabled the number one image and it will automatically pick up number two. So this is only a scenario for Configuration Manager. The next thing is that we can give it a nice name. Tech Ed is cool. Boot, you can give it a version, give it a 1.0, whatever version you want to remember. And then you say next, next, and then it goes and does its thing. We'll segue back to our little scan here. What's happened is that it's rebooted into Dart, into the Dart image, into the WinRE image. It then has executed its tasks to start running a Windows Defender scan. It's scanning on the back end, as you can see. And so Windows Defender now is scanned 500 items approximately for 22 seconds. Started at 515. This time we're doing a quick scan. So we'll let that continue to progress. It's progressing nicely. We'll probably get a golden brown crust on that image, referring back to the kitchen show. And this is going to go ahead. So we'll let that go on its way. Oh, it just finished. There we go. So now we have an image. Now that you have the image, you need to distribute the content and update your distribution points so that way it gets to the place where you can then distribute the content. So the second thing you have to do now that you have the boot image imported into your Configuration Manager is now you need to go ahead and create a task sequence. I've created a task sequence here. I've actually imported a task sequence from one that I had. And that's what I want to do again. Yes, I want to exit. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go edit it, and I'm going to show you what I did, and properties to show you the key things. We'll start with the properties. So the things you can do is that you can add custom text. Dart is awesome. This is where this parameter came from when we saw it before, right here. Came from right there. I gave the name, which is used internally for Configuration Manager. The things that you need to remember here are that when you use a Dart image, you then go and select the Dart image from your collection, right? And then you want to make sure that you run only on the specific client platforms. When you create a Dart image, you're going to create an architecture specific image. And so because of that, then this will run on all Win8 64-bit platforms, or all 64-bit Windows 8 editions. And if I did X64 or if I did X32, then I would check the 32-bit version. And that's all that you want to check. So those two places, this one and this one, are really the key things, and you can add some customization text as well. Then you're done. The next thing you want to do is set your property, or want to edit the task to see what actually are we going to do with this task sequence. You notice that on the left here, we are doing some things, and I've bookended the things we're going to do when the computer is in the real image, and when we're in PE, and then when we're in the real image again. So I'm going to disable BitLocker as a task, which makes it so there is no user interaction. You could replace this if you have a third-party malware virus checking. If you know how to turn that off, you can do it. You can suspend that before you go off. Then we restart the computer to win PE. And there are two options here. The first is to boot into the image that's referenced by the task sequencer. That's what we're going to do first. We can also notify the user, give it a time, as well as a string that will, you can describe to the user what's happening and contact you if you'd like. It's custom. Then when we come back, we then choose the other option, which is to currently go back into the OS. You can also notify the user before you're going to do that. And you also give it a timeout as well. And remember that secret, super secret key path that I gave you earlier? It comes into play right here. So this is the command line, which will kick off the Windows Defender offline scan. Looks like we're up to 5,000 files now, about a third of the way done, moving along just fine. And we've given it a name. We're telling it to run a command line. And we have no other parameters. If you want to add some, you can. The one thing that I didn't do here, but you can do as well, is to add the option to use RoboCopy or XCopy or whatever copy you want to use to copy the log files from the MP detection log files that we talked about earlier over to a central server. So you could actually put that step into here if you wanted to as well. I just didn't do it for this purpose, but you can certainly do it right there. So this is just trundling along just fine. And what will happen is that, like we talked about, as soon as it's done, it will then finish the scan, come back into my operating system, and be basically at the login screen. And that is how you can solve the problem of your company for being able to determine whether or not I can get rid of these low-level boot viruses and malware automated in a way that is minimally impacting my users, and I can get the reports back, and then I can send a report to my management team and get them on, keep them in the loop for how well we're doing in terms of my malware and viruses is up to 10,000. It's got a couple more minutes. I'm actually going to move on. I'm not going to wait for it. So, that's pretty cool that you can actually do that with SCC, with Configuration Manager. Now, the other really cool tool that we have is this tool called Remote Connection. I've been kind of talking it up. It's really awesome. This will solve the problem of you being able to, I don't know if you're like me, but I like to be able to sit in my office, and I like to be able to do RDP. I like to be able to go to machines without actually having to physically go to them. And so now your organization has a new set of goals, because what happens if your organization, if you succeed in your organization, what happens to you? Does anyone know? Well, I know what happens in my organization. You get more stuff to do. That's exactly right. You get more things to do. You get more things on your plate, because our organizations have a lot of goals. They have a lot of things they want to solve. And so Dart can help you solve multiple problems or multiple things to help your organizations become more profitable, become more efficient, keep your IWs in their zone. It helps you to become more proactive instead of reactive, makes you into a hero. So what happens? This is the kind of a scenario we're building up. Maybe this has happened in your organization. You've gone on a cost-cutting spree. Those machines that are in the closet, you now actually have to pull them back out and give them to some people. They were in there because they had some interesting data, but you've forgotten what the administrator password is. So what do you do? And you want to be able to do this because these machines are over, 200 miles away, 500 miles away, 5,000 miles away in one of your other offices. Now, the secretary can go over and plug them in and turn them on, but you need to be able to do something about it. So the solution for this is to use Remote Connection. Remote Connection, you have to enable it in a Dart image. And when you enable it, then, and you do it here in this screen, I don't know if you can see that or not, hopefully you can. There are three sections which are key for this. The first is turning it on, the checkbox. The second is, you can either let it have a random port generation, or you can make it be very specific. So in this case, we've set the port to be 3388, because in my organization, that maybe in yours as well, that port is the one that we allow the Dart communication to come back for RDP. It can be any port you want. Then we also allow you to communicate back to your user again with custom text, describing to them what you're doing. And so that way, because what happens is that we set up this two-way communication pipe where you have actually locked out the user from being able to use the machine while you are administrating on it. So they can see what you're doing, but they can't actually interact with the box. To set up the connection, we need three pieces of data. The first one is the ticket number. The ticket number is a randomly generated ID that's randomly generated each time when you launch the remote connection executable with, from within the Dart image. The IP address can be any IP address that you support. So if it has multiple NIC cards inside of the box, it'll show up all the IP addresses that that machine knows about. Supports them all, IPv4, IPv6, whatever. Then we also have a port, and that's the port that you define. If you defined it specifically, it'll be set there. If it was random, it'll be just a random port. You take that information and you enter it into the new remote connection that you have in your office. So you put in the ticket number, you put in the IP address, you put in the port, hit connect, and all of a sudden you have a remote control into that Dart session without being in the same room or being at the same console even. I want to show you how this works. All right. So we're going to go back here. So this is our Dart image. We've been able to connect into it through some method or some methodology that's been deployed. I'm in it, and I can see my Dart tools. So the tool that we're going to talk about now, and remember that my locksmith is disabled. The keys of the kingdom are disabled. I can go in through my remote connection. There's my custom text. Oh, okay, I kind of understand now that this is really cool to be a tech ed. Then I can see now my ticket number, my IP address. You'll notice that I have multiple. I'm going to choose the one which is applicable for me and my occurrence. I then have a port, which I've hard-coded in this case. And now I am going to move this over here. I launch my remote Dart connection viewer. Let's get as much real estate as I can here. I type in the IP address, 189.862.392. The IP address is 169.254.108.172. Port is 1234, and I got to put some periods in there. There we go. Looks good. I'll say connect, and voila. Now I cannot even interact with this thing at all. It's frozen in time. I'm trying to click on it, trying to move it around. I don't have anything. But I do know that the help desk is connected, and my keyboard and mouse are locked while the help desk is connected. Now, if I'm the help desk guy, I come in, and I can move things around. I can interact with it. I'm going to move this down here for the purposes of what we're going to do, because look at that. Locksmith turned on. So now, me as the IT pro, I can go in. I have full control over all the tools, and my users don't have control over the things which will they ought not have. They can kind of see that they're there. So if they think that they need them, they can have a communication and a conversation with you, but you've got full control over what they can use and what they can't use. So in this case, I'm going to go and just kind of make sure that my data is there. So I'm going to use File Explorer again to go over and make sure that everything is happy, that I got the right data, that this actually machine is kind of what I think it is because I haven't been able to boot into it yet. I'm going to go maybe search for some files. I might change the registry editor if there's anything that I need to do there. See, so we have full registry access. You can go into all sorts of different places, right? We also handle permissions, so you can ACL things down if you need to from being offline. You can go in and fix registry corruption issues, or if someone accidentally deleted a registry area, you can go back and restore those things. And Locksmith works as well. So Locksmith is a tool which allows you to reset a local password for any account that, that the operating system knows about. And so I just go and I can select the password that I want. I can then go and change it. And what it'll tell me is that I've successfully changed my password now. And the next time when I reboot my machine and log on, then that password will be fully restarted or be completely changed because it needs, so we've set the right things to make that happen, to make that go. I say okay, and then I'll reboot. Now, yes, there's a question. Sure. So, for example, if you, Sorry? I will. The question is, can you do registry recovery like you can do file recovery, right? So if you delete a file permanently, we can help you restore the file. If you delete the registry entirely, can you restore the registry? The answer to that is, unfortunately, no. But you could. What I was referring to is if you happen to have a registry key that you knew was set inappropriately, or a hive that you'd saved off someplace, backed it up, you could then go through and reapply that registry settings again in an offline experience, if those are causing you to blue screen or to crash or to hang or to do any of those natures which impede you from being able to use the box. Great. So, let's see. So, this is a few areas for where you can go and learn more about Dart. We have created recently a forum, aka ms/dartforum, where you can go and post information, give us your success stories, tell us your issues. We become part of the Dart community. We really need you to come and tell us, how do you like it? What things would you like to change? We also have other MDOT forums out there which are very associated with that. The next thing we have is a springboard which has our general blog information that talks about all the latest updates for the MDOT product as well as the Dart product, which is a part of the MDOT suite. Finally, there is a comprehensive deployment guide which can help you get started, goes over all the tools, goes over some of the things we've talked about today in a very deep manner. So what I want you guys to really take away from today's session is really that Dart meets the needs of you to do really cool things on a global scale. It also helps you to recover someone's PC, as well as the tooling you use to integrate into your enterprise can be seamless and very robust. It can help you to save money and make you look like a hero. So, I'm actually the last MDOT session of the week, but these are some of the ones that we also have from previous sessions that you can go and look at tonight at your leisure or after the conference. There is the hands-on lab, though, which you can do now, which I would suggest that you do before you go home. And in there, we do some things. For example, something that we didn't show today, which is, how do I go and replace the WinRE drive that comes with Windows 8 when you install Windows 8 with a Dart recovery image? That's actually in the hands-on lab. That's where you can go and find that out. It's really super cool. Also, come and visit us in the expo hall. If you have any questions, if you have any follow-up things, you can come and talk to us. We're happy to talk with you about any MDOT-related problem or virtual desktop-related issue. Some resources. You've probably seen these about a billion times. And remember to do your evaluations. Those are super helpful. I hope that you've enjoyed the session. Please reflect that in your session. You can win some stuff. Here's the QR. Now, today we also handed out some surveys. If you can either bring those up to me, or we'll have somebody at the door who will be able to take them. And at this time, we'll open up for some questions. You can use the microphone, or you can come up and talk to me directly. Thank you very much for your time. I hope you enjoy the rest of your tech ed sessions.